Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
On this recording, you will be listening to the preaching or teaching of God's Word at Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. We pray that the Spirit of God will edify you as you listen to this recording. On this recording, you will be listening to the preaching or teaching of God's Word at Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. We pray that the Spirit of God will edify you as you listen to this recording.
Alleluia, what a Savior! Alleluia, what a friend!
All right, Luke chapter 15. Good to see everybody this morning once again, and I know some of you probably may not even know who I am, but probably thinking, who is this guy? Because I'm always in the back. But for those of you visiting with us, I'm Tony Seale. I'm the youth pastor here. And Brother Welder, as you can see, has had surgery. And as he thanked y'all for the prayers, I know he greatly appreciates it. And he needs more prayers continually for that. That's going to be a good recovery there. I like how he's disguised his shoulder there. That's working very well. But we're good to see that he was at least able to come this morning, and we appreciate that. We appreciate the Lord answering prayers, and I appreciate Miss Irene and that song there. That was a beautiful song. You know, I'm looking forward to when he comes again. You know, that's going to be very soon, I sure hope. You know, if you say, well, I'm not really sure, I'm not really ready for it, just go to Walmart. You know, spend about 3 hours at Walmart, and you'll be ready for the Lord to come. You know, that's all it takes. You know, that's where I, you know, that's where you go. A lot of things, Walmart, they say they have everything. They do. They got a solution to every problem. If you're not ready for the Lord to come, just go there and spend a while and you'll be ready. But, today we're going to look at a passage here. And, I do appreciate Brother Welder giving me the opportunity to preach this morning. I don't know. I'm always nervous on Sunday mornings. I don't know. I don't ever hardly preach on Sunday mornings anymore, and I used to all the time, but now that I'm in junior church, I don't know, that crowd doesn't scare me as bad as this crowd for some reason. I don't know what it is, you know, it's right the opposite. You think they would, but, you know, anyway, hopefully by the end of it, you won't be where they're at the end of our sermon, though, because they're all usually kind of slumped over in their chairs a little bit, and at least we're not going to have to worry about having a game. So if I ask you to stand up or do something crazy, it's just junior church coming out during the Sunday morning. I'm not going to have you repeat the verse or anything, but we'll work on that. But I do appreciate the opportunity to preach this morning and also try to preach something not just for the graduates. It'll apply across the board. We're going to look at a very familiar passage, as we just said a minute ago. We're going to look at the prodigal son. Now, probably every person in here, if you've been at church, or if you've ever been to any church services long enough, or especially if you've been to an old-time revival, at some point in your life, you probably heard a message on the prodigal son. And most of the time, and it makes excellent preaching for salvation, we're not saying that's wrong, most of the time we look at this passage and we preach it as salvation, and it'll work there every time. But you know, if you look at it here, the Bible says in verse number 11, it says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons." So the way we're going to look at this is we're going to look at it as what happens when Christians, saved, born-again children of God, simply do not stay put. If I gave you a thought for the message this morning, it would be to simply stay put. Now, you know, so many times we're always so ready to run. You know, the graduates here, I know they're excited. They're thinking, man, I've graduated high school. It's time to get out on my own. Let me encourage you. Stay put. The parents are saying, oh, no, we thought we got rid of them. And the preacher's trying to tell them to stay at home, you know. I'm just telling you, stay put. Why? There's some benefits to staying put. Your friends will tell you right the opposite, and we're going to look at that here. But I want to, before I get into the message, and I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, which is impossible, but nonetheless, I want you to, let's read the passage, and I want you to understand what's going on, and just familiarize ourselves, and that way we can just point to places therein, and we don't have to do a lot of reading maybe later on. But let's see what the Bible says. Verse 11, and he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them." Now, you know what? We overlook that "them" there many times. He didn't just give half of his goods to the son that wanted to leave. The Bible says here, he divided unto them his living. That tells me he went ahead and he split it up. He gave as much to the good. He gave it to the good son. What was what we're going to call, you know, what's called the good son. You know, the one that stays put. He gave to him just like he gave to the one that is ready to depart. And I want you just to note that, because it may be important here in just a little bit. "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave him." Boy, that's pretty desperate. You want to eat pig food and not even nobody give it to you. Sad state of affairs. I always wondered as a kid why he didn't just eat it. I mean, it's not like the pigs were going to tell on him, or, you know. That's what I never could understand that as a kid. But then one day as I grew up, I realized, well, if the swine started looking poorly, then, you know, it would come out. You know, I always wondered about that as a kid. Some of these things, I always thought, he's hungry, why don't he just eat them? But it says, no man gave unto him. You say, the word of God's important. And that wording is going to be important in just a minute. So I wanted you to note that. That's why we stopped there. But now look at verse 17. And the Bible says, "And when he came to himself," if you like to mark your Bibles, that's an excellent thing to mark. "And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. And for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now the elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh into the house, and he heard the music and the dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee." Now those that have never went astray, you need to take heed right there. There's something in this for the good son also. The Bible says, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends." Boy, how quick it is he forgot all that he had in verse number 12. Remember how the Bible said he divided unto them his living? And then he, right here, you know, he says, "No, you never gave anything to me." I think he did, and we just forget about it from time to time. "And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy servant was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Excuse me. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. Once again, we ask you, Lord God, that you might bless this message, that your will would be done in it. And Lord God, we ask now that you would also bless the graduates, be with each one. Lord God, you know the hearts and the needs of each one here, Lord God. And I pray that you would minister to these needs, Lord, as you see fit according to thy word. And Lord God, I ask that you would help us to try to give you the praise and the honor and the glory for all that you do here with this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the Bible says here, I want to give you some things. First off, the first thing I want you to see, and by the way, this is the introduction. So those of you that are familiar with the preaching, you'll know what I'm talking about. But in our introduction, we're going to look at some things. I want to try to draw you a picture. I want you to see some things that apply not only to a teenager. We're preaching, I know, a little bit at the graduates this morning, but I'm also preaching at the teens that are not there yet, but that are going to graduate. But you say, oh, well, praise the Lord, I'm not a teenager, and I've already graduated, so I can just sit back and not have to worry about the message. Not entirely. Because this is aimed at the graduates. It's aimed at those kids that are going to graduate one day. But you know what? It is aimed at every saved, born-again child of God. Because let me ask you something. How many of you, and I realize this, how many of you might be considered this morning spiritual teenagers? That's interesting, is it not? I mean, if you think about it, now I don't know how God equates all this, but if you think about it, teenagers are teens from the time they turn what? 13 until the time they get what? Ah, ain't that confusing? See, the state says they're adults when they hit the age 18. But they still got 18. They still got 19. They're still teenagers. Until they hit what? 20. And you know, I don't know, but I believe God had something to do with that there in a sense, because in the Bible, in the Old Testament, when you look at when Israel messed up, and before, and when God said he was going to kill all of Israel because they sinned in the wilderness, they were not going to get to go in the promised land. You know what? Where did he stop the age? He stopped it at 20. He said those 20 and under can go into the promised land. You see, I mean, it's confusing. You know, it really is kind of confusing at when you become a physical adult, in a sense. Not by the state. The state puts a law out and says you're an adult at 18. There's many 18, 19, 20-year-olds that are no more adults than some of the 13-year-olds we got in here, right? I mean, go to Walmart, remember? You know, that, if you don't believe that, go to Walmart. You know, hey, I mean, think about it. When we become adults physically, it's kind of confusing. You say, why? Because there's a maturity level that has to take place. Hey, I know 30, 40-year-old men that are my age that I went to school with. Some of them are still kids. They live like kids. They act like kids. They work like kids. You know, they do everything just like we did when we were kids. They never grew up, you know. But so you see, now we flip that over and you say, oh, am I a spiritual adult this morning? That's kind of confusing too, is it not? Say, well, I've been saved 20 years. You can still be a babe in Christ. You can still be a spiritual babe in the things of the Lord. So you see, hey, this message, you say, well, I'm not a teenager, I'm not a young man, I'm not a young woman. Hey, it is still aimed at you. There are some things in this message that will apply all the way through. And the very first thing I want you to see is found in verse 11. The Bible says there, a certain man had what? He had two sons. Do you realize that if you're, and I know I'm preaching, man, that saved people here this morning. If you're saved and you're born again, hey, you have got two options in your life. Just like there's two sons in this passage here, hey, you have two options in your life. Number one, you can do what you want to do and you can follow your way. Or number two, you can say, hey, I'm going to do what God says and I'm going to follow His way instead of what I want. Now, if you could get saved, born again, children of God, to do the latter of those two, then hey, this world would be a lot better place, wouldn't it not? You might could go to Walmart and not wish the Lord had come back. I mean, think about it. But you see, I want you to see, hey, the Bible says there were two sons. What did one do? One said, hey, give me everything that's coming to me. And he went away. The other one didn't ask for anything. The Bible says he got it anyway. But he stayed put. And where was he when the son came home? What was he doing? He was out in the field doing exactly what he was supposed to be doing. And you see, that's a lot of Christians. But you know what? There's a lot of Christians that aren't. You know, one of the things that you see, when I first started, when they approached me about the youth ministry maybe coming down here, you know, I'll be honest with you, I'd never dealt that much with teens. You say, why? Well, I pastored a small little church back there in Alabama. It was a little country church that I grew up in, and there were just no teens in it. Matter of fact, there weren't even hardly no kids. When I left here, before me and Shannon got married, I would venture to say that 60 to 70% of that church was over the age of 50. With us two being the youngest. And you know, so they started saying, hey, why don't you think about maybe the Lord, pray as if the Lord would have you to come down here and work with kids. I thought, I don't know about working with kids. So I know how to make hospital visits. That's what I do. I know how to do those kind of things real well. I knew every hospital in Birmingham backwards and forward. I'd park around back. I'd go in the back entrance. I'd go up the service elevator or the back stairs. I'd just try to slip in, slip out. You know, I didn't even want the people to know I was even on the premises other than the people I was visiting, you know. Those are the things I knew. So I got some books. I got some books on youth ministry, and I thought, well, let me see what some other men have got to say. Maybe they can help me out a little bit. I may not be cut out for this at all, which probably I'm still not, but nonetheless. But I got them books. You know what? One of the common things in every one of them books? It says, the problem that we have in, and I'm not talking about different churches. I'm talking about independent, Bible-believing, fundamental, King James, Baptist churches. These were the books I was reading, men. You know what one of the problems is? They say, we don't understand what it is. If you're going to work in the youth ministry, this ought to be one of your goals. But hey, there's a problem. They grow up in the church. They do fine all the way through graduation. And something happens at graduation. Maybe they hit them over the head with something at school. I don't know. But something happens and they are gone from the church. We lose them. Say, what is that? That's the same thing you see in church. You get people saved, get people in the church, they'll stay for a good little while, then all of a sudden, where'd they go? Say, what is that? That is verse number 11. There's two sons. You know what? There's two options you have as a graduate, as a saved person. Even as a lost person, you've got only two options in life. You've got heaven or hell. That's your two eternal destinies. You see, everything's divided. Ain't it funny? The Bible divides things by two. It's the number of division. But you notice here, it says there were two sons, and they went two different ways. One went away, and one stayed put. You know what? As a saved, born-again child of God, you're either going to go your way, or you're going to stay put where God has you. Now, don't get me wrong. God may move you around. I understand. If God didn't move people, I wouldn't be here this morning, right? All right, I don't know who'd be screaming at you, but it wouldn't be me. You're probably saying, oh, wish the Lord didn't move people, amen? But you see, when I say stay put, I'm not talking about sit down and never move from there in your entire life. I'm talking about stay where God puts you. If He puts you over here, you go there and stay there until He puts you somewhere else. And you know, it's funny. I've never, dealing with people back home, dealing with people, I don't know, here too, it's funny. Everybody that leaves the church will say, God's leading me to leave the church. Well, that's a funny thing. Oh, I'm led, where are you going? We're going over here. Do they preach a King James Bible over there? No, but God's leading me over here. I don't think so. No, are you going to be able to serve God over there? Well, probably not. I find that hard to believe. God's going to take you where you can do something to where you can't do something. But you see, that's what I'm saying. Hey, you're either going to go your way or God's way. Now let's move on. Bible says there in verse number 12. Now, we're still in the introduction. Don't panic. And the younger of them said. Now, this is interesting. The younger. You know, everywhere else in the Bible, it's usually the younger one that's right. You ever thought about that? I mean, if you look at all the other pairs, it's the younger one that does right. And the older one that's messed up, you know. Now, some people like to say Cain and Abel may have been twins. Well, they may have been, but Cain was still born first, according to the Word of God. So maybe it's by a second or two, but he's the oldest. And he killed the younger. You know, you look at Ishmael and Isaac, which came first. Well, we know that, you know. Esau and Jacob, all those things. You go all the way through the Bible. Saul came first, but yeah, it was David. It was the right king. So you see, a lot of times it's always the second one. But here, it's the second one that's right. But here, it says, in the younger of them. You know what I see in that? I see something right here. I see if you want to get inside the mind and the attitude of a younger person or a young Christian in the world today, you look at this kid right here. I've called him a kid. He may have been 20, 30 years old. We're just calling him a kid for the sake of the sermon this morning. Let's look at some characteristics. What's the first thing he said? You ever see that? What's the very first thing out of his mouth besides father? Give. Any of you got kids? Does that fit? Does that work? You get that? You understand? Can you relate? Amen. You see, notice there it says, and he said unto the father, give me the portions of good that falleth to me. Hey, do you realize that we live in a give me society? Hey, I love these kids, you know, and they come to school and they'll say, I love it when they say, the teacher gave me an F. You know, like there was five grades in the pot, and she just reached in and said, oh, this is yours. See, that shows you the mentality that they have. They gave me detention. Can you believe that? They gave me detention? Is it possible you earned it? Is it possible that you earned that F? Or D or C or B. Oh, and then I love it. The kid that gets good. Oh, they always give him A's. You know, the one that gets the good grades. Oh, the teachers, they love it. They give it to him. Maybe he does the work. You know, maybe he studies a couple of days before the test instead of 3 minutes before the test, right? But, I mean, we have this give me attitude. Hey, if you once again, I don't know, the Lord must have gave me this morning for some reason, because I ain't even been to Walmart lately. But if you think it's not a gimme society, go to Walmart. I mean, you know, hey, I know these professional garage and yard sale people, and if somebody's in here this morning that does that all the time, I'm not picking on you. Don't get offended at me. But you know, it was so funny. We had a brand new pair of shoes yesterday. They were on sale for $2. They said, I want them for $1. Brand new pair of shoes. I thought, wow. And I know that's the big thing, you know. Go to a yard sale, see how much you can get them down, you know. Barter and all that. I hate that stuff. I do. I despise it. My dad loves it. I despise it. He won't buy a car if he can't talk them down. I don't want to buy a car. I mean, I just want you to tell me, this is my bottom price. And if the salesman says, this is my bottom price, and I get up and leave, and then he says, oh, wait a minute, let me go back. I'm like, no. You've already lied to me right there. That wasn't your bottom price if you can give me another one. Let's start at the bottom. Hey, you tell me what you want for something. If I think it's worth it or if I have the money, I'll pay you for it. If not, let's not waste one another's time. But the Bible says here that the man said, give me. Hey, we live in a, you know what? I mean, think about it. Let me ask you something. What do you see in our society that's huge? Rights. Oh, you violated my rights. What rights? Oh, well, I'm guaranteed these rights, you know, by this, that, and the other. In other words, the right to say, give me, and you have to give it to me. I mean, hey, you know, I mean, let's just face it. There's people that are, you know, that get things they don't deserve. Why? Because we have laws that say we have to give. We have created a give me society. And that's what you see right there. You know, hey, you know what, young Christians, that's exactly their way. They get saved, they go to church. Well, man, this church ain't giving me nothing. They ain't doing nothing for me. I better find another one. You know? Hey, well, I mean, you know what? God's done give you eternal life. He's give you a place where he puts you. Why not just stay there and see what happens? Now, notice here, second thing to see about this man. Bible says once he got it, what did he do with it? He wasted his living with, he wasted his substance with what? Riotous living. Say, wow, that's one of them old words. We need to throw it out. Anybody know what riotous means? I mean, most of you probably think, we got an idea, right? Somebody incites a riot. Well, you know what that is. You know, like somebody runs in here and starts yelling, fire, fire, fire. We'll have a riot. You know, everybody be trying to get out these two doors right here. And, you know, I mean, you start a riot. Hey, but let's look at what the Bible says. I want you to hold your place here in Luke, and I want you to look at something. What is the mind of young people concerned with? Well, in this passage, the mind of the young person was concerned with riotous living. Let me ask them, you ever thought about why he wanted his goods? Because it costs something to live like the devil. You can't live like the devil for free, right? I mean, if none of you ever lived like the devil, then you wouldn't know, so we'd be in good company. But notice, if you've ever lived like the devil, then, you know, hey, you got to say amen right there, right? I mean, it costs you money. Hey, I'll be honest with you. I was tempted with certain things, but bless the Lord, you know, praise the Lord, I was cheap. Man, I used to look at these guys. I mean, I had a guy that I went to high school with, and he smoked. And I thought to myself, that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. I'm not going to spend $1.30 on cigarettes just to burn them up. You might as well take a dollar bill, roll it up, and light it on fire. I mean, I was too cheap. It wasn't because I was spiritual, probably. It's because I was cheap. It costs you something to live like the devil. And this man, he said, I need some goods. Why? Because I want to go live righteously. Right? That may not even be a word, but you know what I mean. Riotously. I can't say it. Proverbs. Let's go over there. I'm going to show you something. Riotously. Whatever the word would be. Bear with me here. Every now and then it shows that I'm from Alabama. Just every now and then. Just every now and then I let it slip. I try real hard though. In Proverbs 29 verse 3. You know what? When there's a word that you want to understand in the Bible, just look to the Bible. Most of the time, it'll define itself. Look in Proverbs 29, verse number 3. We'll get it. You say, how did he waste his substance with riotous living? Well, let's see what the Bible says about riotous living. Bible says here in Proverbs 29, verse number 3, whoso loveth wisdom rejoices with father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. That's not a coincidence that that word was used. Riotous living is going to be fornication and adultery and messing around with the opposite sex. That's what it says here. Now, if you're saying, I'm still not real convinced, well, just go back to Luke and we'll go over to verse 30 in Luke chapter 15. When the good son, and he might have been bad too. I don't know. I'm just calling him the good son because he didn't leave. So bear in mind, don't think I'm preaching this man a saint or something. I don't know if he really was or not. I'm just saying he was good because he stayed put. But nonetheless, the Bible says in verse 30, you know what he said? He said, but as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots. See, he told you what he was doing. Say, how in the world did the older son know it? Because word gets around. I don't know how far a country the boy went to, but he got back home. And he got back home quick. And you graduates, you young people, you young Christians here this morning, you older Christians, hey, you can go to another state, you can go to another country. Word will trickle right back here faster than you can imagine. I mean, you say, I don't believe that. Well, let me ask you something. How many bad things have you heard about people that hadn't been gone from this church very long? You hear it. Oh, they're. Oh, did you know? Oh, so and so. You know what they're doing now. See, it comes back, and it comes back quick. Say why? That's what righteous living does. I'm trying not to say righteous because that's the two words are close. But notice there. They're close, but they're a long ways apart. But notice, he wasted his substance. Isn't it interesting how it went from his living? The father divided his living, and the young boy wasted his what? Substance. Substance is who you are. It's what you are. You can have all the money in the world, but it may not have you. But you see, if that money has you, then you and that money, y'all would say, yo, that's a substance. It's wasted you. Now, you see, that's what I want you to see. Young people, I want you to see that right there. That ain't the message this morning, but see it anyway. Hey, when you try to live like the devil, it not only wastes your money, it wastes you. But you see, what is the mind? We're just looking at this. By the way, still on the introduction, no panic. We're looking at the mind of the younger generation, the mind of a young Christian, the mind of a young person, the mind of a young graduate. It's give me. Then it's, what's their mind on? Their mind's on fornication. Say, how do you know? Go to Walmart. I dare you. I'm not daring you. That's the wrong way to say it. Erase that from the tape. Kim, make a note. Well, that's not even a good way of saying it there. I don't know how to say this. That's encouraging you to sin either way. But don't do this, but if you have done it, you'll know what I'm talking about. You go to Walmart, just walk by the magazine rack aisle and tell me fornication is not what is on everybody's mind 24/7. I mean, seriously, you can't watch a commercial, you can't watch a television show. I mean, you can't do nothing without seeing something that is promoting either the opposite sex or fornication or that lifestyle. I mean, hey, look at the way the kids dress. So it's being promoted in the department stores. It's being promoted. Why? Because it sells. Why? Because people buy it. Hey, I have yet to understand what has happened to men in America that would allow their wives or their daughters to go out in public the way they do. Don't get me wrong. I'm not for Muslim and Sharia law. But them men understand something. They understand what people think and what other men think when they see their wife and their daughter in public. They understand that. And I'm not promoting that. Don't get me wrong. I'm just showing you the mentality. Hey, it's a younger generation. You say, well, how in the world do you apply this to a Christian? You know, the Bible talks about spiritual fornication. What is spiritual fornication? When you step out on God with the things of the world. When you say, well, I'd rather go to this event on Sunday than be at the house of God. I'd rather watch TV than read the Word of God or pray. That's spiritual fornication. That's riotous living in the spiritual sense. When you put everything in the world ahead of God. When you play with the other thing, hey, God told them he told Israel they committed adultery as a nation, they committed fornication when they mess with idols. Hey, that's what we. Hey, anything comes between you and God is an idol. And what's on our mind 90% of the day? What's on our mind? The mind of a saved person, the world, and the things of the world, right? Say, hey, I'm just trying to get you to see something. Now, what in the world did? Hey, what happened to him? He wasted his substance. Let me show you something. You kids, you think about this. Look at verse 14. We're back in Luke. Say, what does this lead to? And when he had spent all, verse 14, there arose a mighty famine in the land. God's always on time. I mean, boy, you say, why didn't the famine show up when he still had money? Because that wouldn't get God's point across. You know? Why does God allow certain things to happen in your life? Never have a phone call in the world to get to church. Got one. Why does God allow certain things to happen in your life at a certain time? It's for a reason. Bible says there. Notice what he says. And when he had spent all there arose a mighty famine in the land, he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed swine, and he would have fain filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, no man gave him. I see three things real there real quick. You know what righteous lifestyle leads you to? It'll lead you the same way, Christian. Don't think just because you're not playing with fornication or adultery or things of that matter. Hey, when we step out on God, you know what it leads us to? We begin to be in want. Ain't that what it said? There arose a famine and he began to be in want. It'll lead you to a life of want. You know what? That's what commercialism is all about. You know why they have TV? I mean, you know what pays for TV? Commercials. You know why they have commercials? To incite a need in you for something that you do not have and do not need. But if they incite the want for it, you go out and buy it. That's what it's for. It creates a life of want. Hey, you know what else? When you get to a life of want, want leads to bondage. How many of you ever wanted something you couldn't afford? You bought it anyway. Now you're in bondage. Say, I'm not a slave. Sure you are. You can't pay off every bit of your debt right now. You're in bondage to somebody, right? You owe somebody something. They can come claim something of yours. I'm not saying we're in slavery as in the old, you know, the old-timey sense. But what I'm saying there is you're in bondage. Why? Life of want leads to bondage. And a life of bondage leads to despair. Where does this kid find himself? Saying, man, I wish I could eat this hog's food. Nobody give it to me. Nobody give it. Well, you say, what is that? You know what? I want you to think about something just for a minute. We're about to, the message is short. The introduction is long. I promise you. Y'all know me. I promise you. This man, this kid, got to a point to where he was wishing he could eat what swine ate, and nobody give it to him. And then you know what the Bible says in verse 17? It says, and when he came to himself. You know what that shows you? It shows you that the younger mind, the younger Christian mind, a lot of times, the younger person's mind, a lot of times, even graduates, and I know kids get offended by this, and they hate for people to say that teenagers have no sense and that they're not in their right mind, but they're not. And this shows it to you. When he came to himself, that means he wasn't at himself. The best thing you can do is meet yourself real early on in life and figure it out and do what God says. And I always love these people that say, oh, I'm just trying to find myself. Give me a stick. I'll show you right where you are. I mean, you're not, I can prove it to you in about 2 seconds. I'll show you right where you're at. I love these people always finding themselves. They spend their life trying to find themselves. They're right there. Wake up. Hey, the man said, when he came to himself, did he not? That shows me they're not in their right mind. You say, ah, I just still have a hard time with that. Let me ask something. When somebody else, whether it be your friend, church member, kid, whatever, when they want to go off and do the most stupidest thing under the sun, because they don't want to stay put. What do you say? You're like, man, I can't believe it. They've lost their mind. Why in the world would they want to do that? Can they not see what a mess that is? Can they not see what it's going to lead to? No, they cannot. Because they're not in their right mind. And you know what? Chances are, some of you that are about to do something like that, somebody's trying to tell you. Same thing. Chances are, if you've done that, there was somebody telling you, can you not see how stupid that is? And you said, no, looks good to me. Hey, the sad thing is, we don't know what it's going to take for us to find ourselves. See, God sent a famine to this boy, and he wound up wanting to eat what hogs would eat, no man gave to him. They say, what in the world? Where are we going with this? What in the world? I'm kind of lost in the message. Stay put. You know what? Everything that a young person could want, the boy had at home. Let's look at it. Take your Bibles. Look there in verse 30. Verse 20. And he arose and did what? And came to his father. I like that. The father didn't chase him. But notice there, he arose and came to his father. But I like this. When he was a great way off, his father saw him. That father never quit looking. You're a parent here this morning and you got a wayward child or you got a wayward friend. If you're a friend, whatever the situation is, hey, never quit looking for them to come back. Hey, I believe this man got up and at least some point in every day, he walked to the end of the road and said, well, I don't see him. He probably lived in something that looked like South Texas where you could see for miles, see if anybody was coming down the road. I mean, where I grew up, I didn't understand that passage. You say, why? I could go to the driveway, and you could be 2 minutes from me, and I couldn't see you. You know, so I mean, you couldn't see them until they got there. But notice, he went and he looked. Hey, you never know what's coming down that road. But I want you to see something about this young man. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thy sight, no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. You know what? Let me ask something. If you're saved this morning, if you're a kid this morning, you're a graduate this morning, you're about to make any major life-changing decision or you're contemplating it, you know what? Everything you're looking for is right where God is. Stay put. You say, hey, are you for going away to college? Not necessarily. If you can learn to do what you want to do or what God would have you to do in the city where you live, go to that college. Yeah, but it's been my dream to go here. But it's God's choice. When you leave, you go into that far country. You know what the first thing that, you know what the first thing he got when he got home? Look at that. The Bible says the father ran to him and had compassion and fell on his neck and kissed him. You know the greatest need that every person has is love. You know why kids act the way they do? Because they're not loved. They want to be loved. You know what? The world don't love you. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, if the world hates it hated me, it's sure going to hate you because ye are not of the world. You know why if you're saved this morning and you're not living for God and you're not doing what you ought to be, you know why you're never happy and why you never find complacement? It's because the people in the world, you can try to run with those people in the world and you never feel like you fit in. Why? Because you don't. And they don't love you. Hey, you know what? This boy, I bet he had a lot of friends till his substance ran out. Boy, I bet they were probably the ones telling him, come over here. It's fun living over here. Get everything your daddy will give you and join us. Hey, you know what? If you got a whole bunch of people telling you that something stupid you're about to do, but there's one or two saying, yeah, come on. Then they don't like you. They want what you got. And as soon as they waste it, they're done with you. What happened to this man right here? Hey, you know what? The world don't love you. You know what? Hey, college is a hard place when nobody loves you. You know, it's funny. I went to a very small high school, only 1A in our county. 27 people in my graduating class. I could walk down the hall, name everybody between 7th grade and 12th grade. I could put a name on every face. I loved it. But you know what? Teachers cared about it. I went to college. It's like a rude awakening. What? You mean you don't care if I pass or fail? You mean you don't care if I turn in my homework? At first I thought, oh boy, this is great. Get a few bad grades and you're like, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. There's something about this caring that works. But you see it here? You know what? You want love? You want to be cared for? Stay put. You got a church? You say, yeah, but I don't get everything that I feel that I should get at church. Boo-hoo. You don't get it at work, and I ain't seen you quit there. I mean, hey, if that's where God puts you, stay there. You say, why? Because what's in the far country will destroy you. Stay put. Hey, this will work all the way across the board. Why? Because everything he wanted. Everybody wants to be loved. Everybody wants compassion. These men say, oh, I don't need nobody to love me. Baloney. They need it more than anybody. That's why they're carrying on about not needing it. They're trying to get somebody to love them by saying, you know. I mean, it's the same thing. Everybody needs this. He had it at home. Stay at home as long as they'll let you. Some of you parents saying, oh, me. Y'all are starting to pray, Lord, heal Brother Welder. Miraculous healing. Put him back in the pulpit. You're killing us. I'm telling you, stay at home. You know why you need to stay there? Because if they're good, godly parents, they got rules. And you can say, I'm an adult. And they'll say, you can live here. You obey my rules. Now, kids, I'm telling you, it'll save you a world of money. Just staying put. But it'll protect you spiritually if you have to obey the rules. It'll be good for you in the end. Hey, why? Because they love you. If they love you, they got rules. If they love you, they got compassion. Notice what else he got. He got his basic needs there. Notice, hey, you know what, kid? You know, people, what do they want? Everybody wants fancy cars. Everybody wants fancy homes. Everybody wants fancy clothes. Everybody wants to be well off. Hey, where did the son have this? Did he have it in the far country? No. They took it from him there. Where did he have it? He had it at home. Everything you need and everything you really want is at home. You just can't see it. Why? You're blinded. By a little bit of shiny stuff. A little bit. Just stay put. Bible says there they put a best robe on him. Not just any robe. The best robe. You know what? I imagine it was replacing the one he lost. I imagine he was given a robe. I imagine he was given shoes. And I imagine he was even given a ring. What did he do? He pawned it. He pawned it over there in the far country for a night of fun. Say, where'd it lead him? You know, but he got it back. See, everything you need is right here. Kids, everything you need is in this church. It's in this book. It's where God puts you. Stay there until he puts you somewhere else. Because if he puts you somewhere else, that means he'll be there, and you'll also have love and companion and compassion, and you'll have the best robe and the best thing. You'll have everything you need if it's where God puts you. Notice here, he not only got all that, but he even got the best food. The Bible says, and bring hither the fatted calf. That's pretty good. I want to eat hog food, now I'm getting the fatted calf. I imagine the boy might not even, his stomach might not even been able to take it. At first, he figured it out. But you know, isn't that something? You know what the Bible says? Man shall not live by bread alone, but what? By every word of God. This church preaches the word of God. It believes the book. Why do you need to go anywhere else? Now, if God calls you somewhere else, like I know the Woods talking about, he's going to present his presentation about going to Moldova tonight. That's different. That's God putting you somewhere. But if God, hey, God ain't going to put you where his word is not. Don't blame that on God. I've had people say, you know what? Hey, folks, I'm going to tell you something. This is hard with kids. I know it is. I had a family in my church back home, and they had one kid. He was about the only kid in that church. And they said, preacher, we're going down the road. We got to get our kid around some kids. Don't work. Say, what does it make? Made him just like them other kids. Say, what happened? Get your kid around this. This is the only hope they got. Hey, this is the only hope you got. Hey, you know what? I mean, think about it. Parents, where do kids learn most everything they learn? They learn it from us. From your parents. You know what? If this is important to you, it'll be important to them. If this ain't important to you, it won't be. And that's why you'll see it generation after generation. My mom and dad, they just went wherever they felt like they fit in or they liked. that's what I'm going to do. Hey, just stay put. Stay where God puts you. But then notice last of all, they got food. But then notice verse 24. I like this verse. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. He got life back. Now, I know he didn't die physically. Let me ask you something. What is it that people say? Oh, you got a dull life. You're not living. If you know where you're at in the morning, and you know how you got there, and you know why you're there, then you ain't really living. You hadn't lived till you woke up and didn't know why you were there, or where you were, or how you got there. That's what the world says, right? You know, oh, you're not living, man. You don't have a life. Oh, you're a drag. What a dull life. You're going to church on Sunday morning? Man, I can't even get up on Sunday morning until 3 o'clock in the afternoon because I'm living it up Saturday night. I got a real life. Not really. What this meant? You know what he found? He found life was at home. That's where God put him. You know why? Because he had a place. He had a place at the table. He had a place to work. He had a place of fellowship. He had a place of communion. It was a place of love. It was a place of good things. That's not what the world offers. See, it's amazing. We look at this story, and I know we preach it for salvation, and it works for all that, and that's good. Sometimes saved people need to look at it and say, everything he needed was where he was, and he ran from it. We do the same exact thing. Every head bowed, every eye closed, as they come this morning with a hymn of invitation. God spoke to your heart this morning. You say, maybe you're not a teenager, but you're still struggling with my way or God's way. And you're doing everything you can to get away from God's way. Stay where he put you. No matter where it is. You graduates, think about this. You've been raised in church. You may get the opportunity now to not have to go to church. Stay where God put you. You're saved, you're born again. Stay where God put you. You're a teen, not graduating. Think about these things. Say, yeah, but I want to do this with my life and I want to do that. Well, that's fine. But make sure it's what God wants you to do. Because if God ain't in it, you may get it. And you may wind up right where that prodigal son wound up. Or you may be a success, which is even worse, and never get back to God. If God spoke to your heart this morning, why don't you come to the altar, pray, ask Lord God to help you with these things. He'll do it. The Bible says he'll meet there right there with you. Lord, you know, when that young man repented, the Father fell on him, had compassion, and love. That's a great type of God the Father. If you're that prodigal this morning, and you know what's right, and you know you ain't doing it, why don't you repent? Notice he always said, I sinned in the sight of heaven. Ever notice that? He sinned in the sight of heaven and in thy sight. He did it in his Father's sight, but it was really against heaven, and he knew it. Why don't you come and get that right with the Lord? Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for the day. Lord, we ask now as we have a few verses of a hymn of invitation that, Lord God, you might speak to hearts. Lord God, I pray that you would have your way in each life that's here this morning. Lord God, if there's the prodigal that's here this morning, help him to come to himself. Lord, just as the passage said, help him to come to himself. Lord God, to see himself as he really is. Lord God, for those that are teeter-tottering on the edge of departing or staying, Lord God, I pray that they might simply stay put. Lord God, for those that aren't even contemplating leaving, Lord God, I pray that you'd make it very real to them this morning that everything they really need and everything they really want is right where you are, and it's where you've put them. And they may not have everything right now, but Lord God, that as long as they stay with you, you're going to provide those things. And we thank you for that this morning. We appreciate and praise you for your love this morning, your compassion, and your supplying our needs and feeding us, Lord God. And we pray that you just help this message, Lord God, to accomplish a purpose of which you've sent, and you would do with it what you will. And we'll try to thank you and praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to an audio recording at Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our church or our radio broadcast ministry, we have two websites that are available to help you. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our radio listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you here. In the meantime, enjoy our audio sermons and radio broadcast online at either of our websites.